If you're a wine lover like me, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I found the most personalized wine club that has amazing wines and exclusive perks. It's called First Leaf. As a First Leaf member, I get to discover new wines I'm guaranteed to enjoy. That's because First Leaf gets to know your unique preferences. To start, I answered a few quick questions on their website about what flavors I like, how often I drink wine, and if I prefer red, white, or rosé. The answer is always rosé. Based on my answers, First Leaf curated an amazing selection of wines just for me. And when I rate those wines, my wine selection gets even more tailored. I prefer a dry rosé with fruity notes, and First Leaf gave me exactly what I asked for. Also, I loved how easy it was to join and to set up shipping. Very, very simple. But best of all, I get to choose when I want my box delivered and how often I get new assortments of wine. Being part of First Leaf Wine Club also has its perks. As a member, I get access to their incredibly helpful wine concierge. So if I want wine pairing advice or to talk about the wines in my box, I can always speak to one of their experts. Plus, I get member exclusive pricing on every order. Join the wine club today and discover new wines you'll love with First Leaf. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/ratchet to get your first box. That's tryfirstleaf.com/ratchet. Tryfirstleaf.com/ratchet. This just in. Body odor is officially canceled for good this time. Unlike certain other DOs, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet, and yes, even your privates. In fact, it was patients' concern about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code RATCHET15 for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code RATCHET15 at LumiDeodorant.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and those who don't identify as either, you are listening to Ratchet and Respectable. My apologies that this is so late. I can't blame it on anything. This podcast was due on Friday. I'm recording it on Sunday. I didn't have the wherewithal to be able to record for the last couple of days. I haven't been to sleep. That's not true. The last two nights, I've slept more than usual. But for the last 3 weeks, I haven't slept more than 3 hours a night. I'm about to cry. I haven't slept more than 3 hours a night. I'll sleep during the day. Sometimes I told you before, like 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's starting to affect my mental health. Even when I get the 8 hours of sleep in the middle of the day, it's a mental mind fuck to like basically exist only in the darkness. So when I am actually awake, I'm operating through this weird fog. Like I feel half dead most of the time. And then the exhaustion, like the lack of sleep, I'm starting to do like weird shit that makes me feel crazy. I'm bumping into things or I'm dropping things or I'm just forgetting basic things. Like if you've heard me on the last couple podcast episodes, I picked it up when I was editing, but like I can't remember the words for certain things. And I'm like, what do I want to say? How do I want to say? And like the shit that's really freaking me out is I've been trying to reset my sleep patterns. So like if I wake up at, I don't know, 5 p.m. because I slept all day, right? I'll try to stay up till 8 p.m. or push to 10 p.m. the next day. So I'm up for over 24 hours. And then like crazy shit starts to happen. Like I'll see shit crawling on the walls out the corner of my eye. I know that sounds crazy. I'm literally hallucinating because I'm sleep deprived. And I have to tell myself like this shit's not real. This is fucking crazy. Enough people have suggested that sleep deprivation or insomnia are a side effect of perimenopause. I've talked on previous episodes how like my cycle is all over the place. It's always been all over the place, like my entire life, but it's weirder now than it is before. So I was like, maybe there's something to it. So I did make a doctor's appointment. Hopefully they can put me on some kind of meds or something to like regulate whatever this is. Cause I feel like I'm going fucking crazy. Like it's to feel like you're losing your mind is vulnerable, scary, and really fucked up. Like, I'm scared to leave the house because, like, I know I'm not fully alert or aware, and I'm, like, on the other side of the world. And I know, like, the knee jerk for everyone is like, well, go home then. I talked to Davita the other day. She listens to the podcast. And she was like, hey, like, are you okay? Because the last couple episodes, like, you've been talking about you can't sleep and blah, blah, blah. And she was like, well, you know, you can come back to Ghana. And I was like, what's Ghana going to do? And she was like, I don't know. But last time you were here, you could sleep. She was like, it's not like you got to change continents. Just fly up. I mean, it's right there. It's on the same continent, but it's like a 12-hour journey. And she was like, what you going to do? Go to sleep? The last two nights, though, I've been better. I've gone to sleep at 10 o'clock. And then I wake up around 1. I can't go back to sleep until 3. And then I sleep until 6. I'm up for another hour from like 6 to 7:30 and then 7:30 to 10, I can sleep. So like right now it's 12:30 and I'm actually recording. This is the first time I've been able to be awake and not like, you know, you're really tired. You have like that, it's like this irritating feeling behind your eyes, almost like they're burning. This is one of the first times in 3 weeks that I haven't had that feeling. Like I actually feel like I've rested. It wasn't continuous sleep, but it was sleep nonetheless. And I'm up in the middle of the day. It would happen to be like a shitty day. Cape Town's like one of the most beautiful places on earth. And like the day that I'm awake, it's overcast and looks like it's about to rain. But I'm very grateful to like not have that half awake feeling. I actually feel rested and I don't see shit climbing on the walls. In other news, I had to make a doctor's appointment the other day, not for related to this. I have an ongoing issue that I just like to get checked out on a regular basis to make sure it's not progressing into something worse. And there's literally a clinic next door to my gym. Like I walked into the place and I was like, this is my issue and I would like to make an appointment. Can you tell me like what your next availability is? The receptionist, you know, she typed into her keyboard and she was like, I'm so sorry. We don't have anything available right now. This was on Wednesday. She was like, unfortunately, our first availability is Friday at noon. And I was like, yes, Friday is fine. And she was like, I'm so sorry. We don't have anything available sooner than that. I wasn't in an emergency room. I wasn't complaining about like a heart attack or, you know, like my life is not on the line. Just because I've gone to doctors or had medical procedures overseas before, I had something done in Dubai. And I also had something done when I was in London. So I know that their wait time is in comparison to like America is very different, but it still blows my mind every time that I can walk into a space that's not an emergency room and can book an appointment within like a couple days. My mother's, I don't think she'll mind if I tell this story, but my mother's primary care physician retired, and he suggested a list of doctors that his patients could go to so they had coverage. My mother called around for weeks trying to find a new doctor, and the first availability was 4 months out, which is insane. The other thing, because I'm a Black woman raised in America, right? I didn't know what to expect when I went to the doctor here. I could tell by her name that she wasn't a Black woman. I wasn't concerned about the actual ability to have quality treatment. I wasn't sure how I would be treated as a, I say Black here, I'm considered colored. That's a whole separate mind fuck. But just as a Black woman used to interacting with American healthcare system, I did a ton of pre-research, so I knew what to ask. I knew how to advocate for myself. I went on guard in case, like, the doctor treated me shitty. It was literally, I actually felt like a human, not a patient. I didn't feel rushed. I felt heard. I felt seen. Very different than many of my encounters in America's healthcare system. You know what? They treated me. Remember how I used to talk about going to the orthodontist? You know, most people don't like going to the orthodontist, don't like going to the dentist. But when I had my braces, I was like excited to go to the orthodontist. Like I was like, oh, I'm going to hang out with some people and I'm going to watch some TV, listen to some Luther. And it's going to be like a great experience. Like I actually enjoyed going to my orthodontist appointment, even though I know they're going to tighten the torture devices that they put on my teeth. And still, I look forward to it. But like, I'm actually looking forward to going back to the doctor. It's weird. This is the other part. She said, I don't think it's an issue, but I would like to run another test. And I said, well, what do you recommend? So she said, well, here's option A, here's option B. And she said, B is for the best, but B is really expensive. And I said, what is really expensive? And so she said, it's like 5,000 Rand. It's roughly 250 USD. When I had it done in London, it was 1,500 pounds, which was 1,800 USD. If I need to escalate it to the next level beyond that, in America, it's 30,000. Here, it's 2,500. I was like, that's crazy. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. You're a listener of this show. You know that I am adamant about therapy. I think everyone should try some, especially the people that don't think they need it. And if you've ever questioned whether you do, you absolutely do. Go now. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. I love how easy BetterHelp makes it to access professional help. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ratchet today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ratchet.
There's so much news. I finished DR from Detroit. It was the last episode of the season. It was only 8 episodes. It was so good. I hated to see it end. But also, I'm kind of like WTF on that ending. And it did exactly what it's supposed to do, which is to make you want to tune in for season 2 to anticipate it. I can't see why BET wouldn't do a season 2. I'm sure the show is expensive. It looks like good money spent on budget. And it's critically acclaimed. I can't think of any other BET show that's gotten this much attention as DR from Detroit. First Wives Club got good conversation. But I don't even think that got the kind of attention that DR from Detroit is getting. I saw there was a big write-up in the Washington Post. I didn't get a chance to read it yet. Shout out to my friend, my sister, Helena Andrews Dyer. Mr. Dyer, don't play about that last name. Helena Andrews Dyer. I was at the wedding. I saw it happen. She did a great profile on D.R. Kilpatrick, is related to Kwame Kilpatrick. I think they're half-sister, sister. You know, Black people don't really do that half thing. Like, either you is or you isn't. But that show is so good. I know I talk about it every episode, and I told y'all why. Like, I need to see it in season 2. I need many people to tune into this show because I need to know what happens next. I'm like, okay, like, Mission accomplished. But like, now what? There's so many loose ends. And I like just hanging out with the characters. That's always a sign of a really good show. If the characters were real people, would I want to associate with them? Would I want to be part of their friend circle? Yes, I would. Speaking of TV, I mean, this is not TV, this is film. Luther Vandross, did we talk about this before? There's a documentary coming about Luther Vandross. It's called Never Too Much. It's showing at the Tribeca Film Festival, which is listing it as the New York premiere, but not the world premiere or the U.S. premiere, which leads me to believe that it's being shown in other places, but it's definitely going to be in New York. The problem for me, at least, is the Tribeca Film Festival overlaps with ABFF, American Black Film Festival, in Miami. I'm definitely going to Miami. I live for that festival. It's one of my faves. But I'm trying to figure out, are you going to have Luther too? Because Tribeca's calling it the New York premiere. Is there a Miami premiere? Because it's a movie about like a Black man, and ABFF is, you know, Black people. I feel like Luther should be there. I'm obsessed with Luther only because my mother is obsessed with Luther. My entire formative years before I could drive, so like birth until 16, when I had to ride in the car with my mother, the only music that she ever played was Luther and Celine Dion. We were fancy, so my mother had a car with like the six changer CD player, half Luther and half Celine Dion. It would be the middle of July and my mother would be riding around listening to like Luther Christmas songs. No one loves Luther like my mother. I can sing along word for all Luther songs. You know how like sometimes you'll see those memes and they were like, what song could you sing if it's like $10,000 or death? Like, what song could you sing word for word? Give me anything in the Luther catalog. I got you. Word for word, inflections. I'd be off key, but I can give you all the lyrics. I love me some Luther. I really, really, really want to see this documentary. I'm looking at the Tribeca site right now, directed by Dawn Porter. Unfortunately, I'm not familiar with Dawn Porter. I need to look her up. She sounds Black. There are several producers, one of them, Jatari Turner. He's fine as hell. He produced a lot of stuff. And also Jamie Foxx. I recognize some of the executive producers, like big names in music. And then they've got interviews with Danielle Smith, author, former EIC of Vibe, and also one of the best editors ever. Nile Rodgers, Valerie Simpson. Valerie is in Ashford Ann. One of the greatest songwriters, both of them, ever born, ever made. Lisa Fisher. Remember Lisa? How Can I Ease the Pain? I'm not going to try to fuck around and hit them high notes. If I recall correctly, she was one of Luther's background singers for years. And he told her to go break out and do her own thing, which I think is the same thing that Patty said to Luther at one point and was like, sir, like, I appreciate you singing in the background. Singing in the background. But no, I want to say Patti LaBelle said that to Luther at one point and was like, sir, you're in this background. You have no business here. Like, go do your own thing. But Luther also said that to Lisa Fisher. And then, you know, she went and made a classic. I don't recognize all of these names. Clive Davis, Mariah Carey, Dionne Warwick. They're all a part of the documentary. I'm so excited about this. Have we talked about this before? Because I've been really like stalking this film.
If you're a wine lover like me, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I found the most personalized wine club that has amazing wines and exclusive perks. It's called First Leaf. As a First Leaf member, I get to discover new wines I'm guaranteed to enjoy. That's because First Leaf gets to know your unique preferences. To start, I answered a few quick questions on their website about what flavors I like, how often I drink wine, and if I prefer red, white, or rosé. The answer is always rosé. Based on my answers, First Leaf curated an amazing selection of wines just for me. And when I rate those wines, my wine selection gets even more tailored. I prefer a dry rosé with fruity notes, and First Leaf gave me exactly what I asked for. Also, I loved how easy it was to join and to set up shipping. Very, very simple. But best of all, I get to choose when I want my box delivered and how often I get new assortments of wine. Being part of First Leaf Wine Club also has its perks. As a member, I get access to their incredibly helpful wine concierge. So if I want wine pairing advice or to talk about the wines in my box, I can always speak to one of their experts. Plus, I get member-exclusive pricing on every order. Join the Wine Club today and discover new wines you'll love with First Leaf. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/ratchet to get your first box. That's tryfirstleaf.com/ratchet. tryfirstleaf.com/ratchet.
America, y'all look crazy. This is always how I know when shit has really hit the fan in America. When people hear my accent, or my dialect rather, and start asking me about Trump and what the fuck is going on in America, that's how I know that we're in a really bad space. The images of police beating students, young minds, future leaders of America, beating them on their college campuses is circulating worldwide. And America looks pure nuts. Us supporting Israel as Israel destroys Palestine, as there is a active genocide, as for years and years and years, the relationship between Israel and Palestine has been equated to apartheid. I'm in South Africa, which is probably the best known country for apartheid. You can imagine that here, there is a strong pro-Palestine stance, but also just worldwide, people are looking at what's happening in Gaza and being like, hey, I know Israel, like, we hear you on your right to protect yourselves, but you're killing women and children. It's not like two armies are at war and on some like, well, this is what y'all signed up for. Okay. But y'all are bombing an entire country into oblivion. Women and children who want no parts of any of this shit, they're just collateral damage, are being killed in mass to the point that it's considered a genocide. So like the rest of the world is looking at America like, y'all support this shit? Like, you're literally funding this shit. What? Now that the students have started protesting and creating these encampments on these college campuses, calling for their campuses to divest from Israel, is this not the plot from school days? Divesting from South Africa in the middle of their apartheid was Dap Dunlop's whole storyline. Mission College, divest from South Africa. Outside of America, because people aren't watching Fox News over here, they're reading Al Jazeera and BBC. The story that's going out around the world is not that weird Fox News version where they're like, oh, the students are pro-terrorists, the students are pro-Hamas. No, no, no. The students are anti-war, anti-genocide. No one's pro-Hamas. You'll always find some weirdos and some bigots in the midst, but the vast majority of people are just like, it's anti-genocide. It's pro-Palestine in the sense that it stopped destroying this country, stopped killing everybody in it. So when people hear my American accent to the point that I'm at the doctor's office or I go downstairs to pick up my Uber Eats and the guy at the front desk wants to engage me about like, the fuck are y'all doing? Or I go to my nail salon, like people are asking me, like, is it really as dangerous in America as it looks on TV? Yeah. And then also the other question is, are y'all going to really reelect Trump? Like, isn't he a criminal? Didn't he like encourage people to like, you know, storm the Capitol? Because that looks crazy. Yeah. And y'all are going to reelect him? And I have to remind people, ma'am, sirs, I'm over here with y'all. I'm not in my home country. I'm over here for a reason. Like, I mean, yes, it's beautiful and it's an easier way of life in some respect. I mean, as fucked up as home is, there's still no place like home. But I know it's really bad when casually, like, people hear my accent and just like, hey, American, account for yourself. What the fuck are y'all doing? I don't know. But y'all look crazy. And I know it's not y'all, as in the listeners. Because I feel like most of the people that listen to this podcast are probably anti-war, anti-genocide, pro-student. I don't understand how universities are so ill-prepared for students protesting. It's kind of what students do. It's not like this is the first time the students have ever protested on college campuses. Like, y'all don't have no preparation plan for this? Like, there's no emergency plan for, like, you know, the students get riled up and they decide they want to protest. Or your plan is, you know what, let's call the police on the kids. Because that's what college students are. We're talking about people who are largely from 18 to 22. Totally respect their adulthood, but also acknowledge they're extremely young people. They're idealistic. They've been taught that there's a way that the world is supposed to work that operates on fairness and decency and equality. And then they see it not happening. And they're just like, they're very outraged because they're like, this is not what I was taught. We need young people. We need their idealism. We need their optimism. Like, it keeps us human. But I'm like, these are students. These are people that walk around with like backpacks with like laptops and books. They're devoting 4 years of their life to study. They're nerds. And you turn the police on them? The police? We've watched police beat the fuck out of Black people for so long, and it's become almost tolerable. Black folks make a bunch of noise about it, but America at large has just kind of accepted that, like, okay, the police beat Black people, and you know, it is what it is. The same cops are now going on college campuses, beating the fuck out of rich white kids or white kids with rich parents. Because we're watching violence break out on Columbia's campus, NYU's campus, Emory's campus. Tuition there is like $50,000, $60,000 a year. You beating on them kids? They're beating on the kids. They're beating on professors. They got snipers on the roofs of college campuses aimed at students. What the fuck? And it's only a matter of time. I'm recording this on Sunday. The administrations keep calling in the police. The American police force cannot be trusted not to escalate shit into mass chaos. Some of these kids are going to end up shot or killed, brutally, violently beaten, and then all hell is going to break loose. It is horrific the way that so many of these institutions are treating their students as if they're criminals. I was following a thread on Facebook, and this guy asked, can you just give me an instance where students protesting for whatever issue it was, where the students were on the wrong side of history, whether it was Vietnam, whether it was apartheid in South Africa, whether it's anti-genocide in Gaza. They're not wrong. They're also not armed. And you've released the police on them. So I'm so proud of the students in my alma mater and the students around the country who are protesting right now. Extremely proud of the students. The world is watching and you're doing the right thing. The administrations, trash. I can't say I can't believe they're acting like this, but also at the same time, I can't believe they're acting like this. You're turning the police on your own fucking students and your own fucking rich white students at that? You realize their parents will sue the fuck out of you, right? You don't see that coming? Okay.
Hey there, overwhelmed foodies. Are you drowning in a sea of meal kit options, feeling like you're in a bad dating game where every contestant looks the same? Fear not, because amidst the chaos, there's one shining star worth your culinary affection. Home Chef is not just another fish in the meal kit sea. They're the gourmet catch you've been dreaming of. Say goodbye to swiping left on lackluster meals and swipe right for the one brand that'll make your taste buds swoon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. And this is my favorite part. It's not only convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. And the food is delicious. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals, plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/ratchet. That's homechef.com/ratchet for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. Homechef.com/ratchet. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
It's so hard to talk about like basic shit after we talk about like deep shit, like, you know, genocide. All this other stuff is so basic. Oh, speaking of students, Angela Bassett, I guess this is good Black news. Angela Bassett is the keynote speaker for graduation at Spelman. Angela Bassett is a good get. She's an excellent orator. I'm gonna see if I can find that speech. I feel like Spelman's graduation will be live streamed somewhere. If somebody doesn't live stream the whole thing, somebody's mama is going to record the whole thing. It'll end up on YouTube. But I would like to see it. I saw Joe Biden, President Biden, is supposed to be speaking at Morehouse. As of today, it's still on. I saw people online speaking about how he shouldn't be speaking at Morehouse because, you know, the idea is that Biden supports genocide and why would he be speaking at Morehouse and, you know, blah, 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 blah. On things like this, I defer to the students. I mean, it's their commencement. The administration, I give two shits about. What do the students feel? If the students are okay with it, I'm okay with it. If the students are anti, then I'm anti. I stand with the students on whatever they think is acceptable there. I saw Reggie Bush is about to get his Heisman back. I give two shits about that Heisman. I saw pictures of Reggie Bush and I was like, God damn, he's still fine all these years later. If you remember the issue with Reggie Bush and the Heisman, I don't recall it. I had to go look it up. For somebody who doesn't follow sports, I find myself talking about sports a whole lot lately. This is Los Angeles Times. They're breaking down. Okay, so many people have the same question I did. Why did Reggie Bush lose his Heisman trophy? And how did the former USC star get it back? This is a picture of him from 2005. Good God, he's fine. Former USC running back Reggie Bush. Didn't OJ go to USC? It's top of mind because I watched all his OJ documentaries right after he died. Okay, Reggie Bush won the Heisman in 2005, and then he lost it in 2010, and he finally got it back this week. LA Times notes it's been, quote, a long, strange trip for the player who went on to win a Super Bowl in the NFL and serve as a college football analyst on Fox. And then they get into what happened. Okay, so why did he lose his Heisman Trophy in 2005? They said it was a USC team full of superstars, and Bush was the biggest of them all. He rushed for this. He did a bunch of touchdowns. He averaged blah, blah, blah. He carried so many passes for so many yards. Okay. Bush ran away with the Heisman Trophy that December, receiving 784 first-place votes, which at the time was the second-largest tally in the award's history. Fellow former USC running back O.J. Simpson, the 1968 Heisman Trophy winner, why does O.J. factor into everything, still holds the all-time record with 855 first-place votes. Bush ranks fifth. So he lost the Heisman Trophy in 2010. LA Times reports in 2006, the NCAA launched an investigation into reports that Bush and his family received cash, travel expenses, and a rent-free home from two prospective sports agents while he was at USC, which was against NCAA policies at the time. 4 years later, the NCAA issued severe sanctions against USC. The Trojans vacated their 2004 national title and 14 games Bush took part in, and the university disassociated from the former player. Then USC president ordered that the school's replica of Bush's Heisman Trophy be removed from the athletic department and returned to New York. With the Heisman Trust scheduled to decide whether to revoke Bush's award, Bush bowed to public pressure and announced he would forfeit his Heisman Trophy. He is the only person to have ever returned the trophy. LA Times notes, Bush denied any wrongdoing throughout the NCAA investigation. He did acknowledge he made unspecified mistakes. The LA Times goes on to detail that Bush did fine in the NFL. He wasn't necessarily a superstar, but he made $63 million during an 11-year career. He was also drafted number two overall by the New Orleans Saints in 2006. This is why he got his Heisman Trophy back. On June 30th, 2021, the NCAA ruled that student athletes could start earning money for the use of their name, image, and likeness. We know we talked about Angel Reese and then specifically Fly J, her Mercedes truck, because they can make money now. The LA Times notes almost immediately, Bush lobbied to get his Heisman Trophy back as the rules that he allegedly broke were no longer in effect. The Heisman Trust said it would only return the trophy if the NCAA reinstated Bush records from the 2005 season. They refused. And then the Heisman Trust decided to reinstate him anyway. Reggie Bush has sued the NCAA for defamation. He says the NCAA has accused me of engaging in pay-for-play arrangement, which is 100% not true. Not only is it not true, but there's no evidence to even support that claim. It wasn't even part of the initial NCAA investigation. So this is a new accusation as far as I'm concerned. All the media outlets picked it up as if this was the reason I'm not getting my Heisman Trophy back and why I'm not being reinstated. And that's not true. That's what this lawsuit is about. It's about the truth, getting the facts out, and holding the NCAA accountable. The LA Times notes that through his attorneys, Bush says that he has not apologized to the Heisman Trust or shown contrition for past NCAA violations in order to get his trophy back. He says, quote, I have always acted with integrity and in accordance with the rules and regulations set forth by the NCAA. The allegations brought against me were unfounded and unsupported by evidence. Good for him with his fine ass. He's fine as fuck. I mean, he was fine then, but he's even finer now. Age and time have served him very, very well. Very well. Amen. Amen.
This just in. Body Odor is officially canceled. For good this time. Unlike certain other DOs, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet, and yes, even your privates. In fact, it was patients' concern about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. Fast forward 6 years, and her game-changing whole body deo has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people like me, who love smelling great and feeling confident from head to toe. Now, admittedly, I was nervous about using Lumi, but I wanted to try something new. And Lumi works. I just stick to pits, but it's also good for underboob, thigh folds, belly button, butt cracks, vulvas, and feet. Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. I know you're like, how is that possible? Okay, unlike certain traditional deodorants that try to mask odor with a fragrance, Lumi is formulated and powered by that mandelic acid that I mentioned. It stops odor before it starts, which makes Lumi more like a pre-odorant than a deodorant. Lumi Starter Pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code RATCHET15 for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code RATCHET15 at LumiDeodorant.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
There's no way we can get to everything on this list. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't speak about Jeezy because that story is everywhere. Jeezy and his estranged wife, because their divorce is not final. Jeannie, from The Real, he filed for divorce from her a few months ago and they have been in I wouldn't say a public feud. They're filing these documents to the court, but those documents are public, so the press is able to access everything that they're accusing each other of. The most recent accusation by Jeannie is that Jeezy was beating the brakes off her while they were married. I'm pulling this up on Billboard. It says, quote, the trap pioneer, is that what he is? Filed for divorce from his wife in September 2023 after 2.5 years of marriage. There was a court filing on April 25th. I think that was Thursday. It was obtained by Complex Magazine. Let me just go ahead and click on this link to Complex since they're the source. They will probably have more details. The headline there is Jeannie Mai accuses ex-husband of physical abuse and child neglect. Jeezy denies accusations. She says in her court filings that Jeezy has a history of violence and recklessness that put their family in danger. Regarding the recklessness, she says on October 11, 2023, this is after Jeezy's divorce filing, she said she had to remove their 2-year-old daughter from their Atlanta home after the toddler was discovered with Jeezy's Louis Vuitton bag that allegedly contained an AK-47. According to court documents, that same firearm was later found on the couple's bedroom floor where the child could have easily accessed it. The child is 2. She also accuses Jeezy of assaulting her multiple times. She says one of those instances occurred in January 2022, just 3 weeks after she'd given birth to their daughter. She says she and Jeezy were sitting inside a parked car when he began berating her with insults and struck her in the face with a closed fist. She alleges that the punch caused a hemorrhage. She says after that, she and Jeezy decided to work things out and confided in their pastor and therapist later that week. However, still reading on Complex, Jeezy allegedly attacked her just several months later while they were staying at a Ritz-Carlton in San Francisco. Jeannie says Jeezy choked her from behind and then pushed her down a flight of stairs, which prompted hotel security to intervene. Jesus. It's another incident. She says this happened in 2022 after the Atlanta Mayor's Mass Ball hosted by the United Negro College Fund. Quote, an irate Jeezy demanded they leave the event after she had gone to the bathroom without telling him. Before making their way home, Jeezy allegedly told their driver to get out of the car and proceeded to verbally abuse his wife. Jeannie says she tried exiting the vehicle, but Jeezy pulled her back in by grabbing her dress's neckline. She said Jeezy tore the garment and left 2 to 3 inch scratch marks on her chest. She says she reported the incident to her therapist with Jeezy present, and also told her best friend in confidence. It's another allegation. This one involves a golf cart crash that left Jeezy and Jeannie injured. I've seen pictures for this one. It says Jeannie submitted text messages to the court in which Jeezy seemingly confirmed he was driving the cart at the time of the crash. She says she was unaware that Jeezy was overly intoxicated during the incident. According to the court filing, this is part of what we read before. It goes a little further this time. It says Jeezy has a history of threats, violence, and bodily harm. Jeannie mistakenly believed Jeezy when he convinced her prior to their marriage that he was a changed man and his past was in his past. But as one can see from the examples of abuse endured during the marriage, that has not turned out to be the case. In fairness, I think this is very important to mention, Jeezy has, this Complex's word, quote unquote, vehemently denied Jeannie's abuse allegations. He posted on, this looks like a screenshot from Instagram, the allegations are not only false, but also deeply disturbing, especially coming from someone I loved. This malicious attempt to tarnish my character and disrupt my family is ridiculous. It's disheartening to witness the manipulation and deceit at play. And at this time, my main concern is being an active father to our daughter as I continue to fight for court-mandated joint custody. Rest assured, the truth will prevail through the proper legal channels. I think I saw this on his Instagram page. Does he still have it up? He does. So what I just read to you was not the caption. How do I describe this? Words included on a photo. So the actual caption for that was, "Y'all know me, # integrity." Friend, I know your persona. I don't know you like that. I can name you a couple songs. You make great music. You sound good in sit-downs with Nia Long. Your book, I never read it, but by all accounts, people were like, you know, Jeezy's a grown-ass man. Like, he grew up, like, as you're supposed to. Like, he went from the snowman to, you know, Jeezy. Okay. But y'all know me? I don't know you. I'm sorry. I do know Jeannie got pictures of her leg all bruised up. And I was like, well, where do bruises come from? Same thing I had with Jonathan Majors. Like, okay, you didn't do it. Well, then who did it? How to get there? Like, did she do it to herself? Your story differs from her story. She has a story. What's your story? Jeezy needs a story. You ain't got no story. You're just denying what happened. Like, y'all know me. I don't know you. I'm not saying you did it. I'm just saying I don't know you to make a judgment call on, like, who you really are when I don't have my headphones on. Because we're going on, like, who you are in your music? I don't think that's the you want us to know in defense of what she's alleging in this case. Maybe the hardcore fans know something different. I'm a casual fan. Like, I know you as a snowman, sir. I know he's a street nigga. Like, you're like, y'all know me. I'm like, oh, this sounds like some street nigga shit. Street niggas are capable of anything. Like, yeah. Again, I'm not saying he did it. I'm just saying, like, the defense that he's using trying to convince people that he didn't is really not the strongest defense. Especially when Jeannie got, like, you know, pictures and she's like, well, we talked to our pastor. We talked to our therapist. I told the people at the time. That don't look good for you, bruh. If she tried to out statements from those people, can therapists take the stand? I feel like there's some sort of, like, patient confidentiality, like the same thing that lawyers have, like patient doctor. I don't know. But if you told your pastor doesn't get a pass. If you told one of your besties, especially if you got, like, text messages and that shit, I don't know. I don't think it's looking good for Jeezy. I saw a lot of people being like, well, if he was beating the brakes off her, he's the one that filed for divorce and she said she was blindsided. And, like, that doesn't make any sense because if he was beating her, why would she want to stay with him? People stay with their abusers all the fucking time. Like, that's not no new news. Why didn't she leave after he beat her? I don't know, but a lot of people get beat and don't leave. Just one thing that just, like, living has taught me, what you think you'll do in a situation and what you actually do in a situation may or may not be the same thing. We only find out when it actually happens to you. There are absolutely people who are just like, this is some bullshit, and get up and leave at the first red flag. But there are also many more people who are like, well, it's not really red, it's mauve. All right, that's the episode. My apologies again that it was so late. I can't even tell you that any upcoming episode is going to be any better. I'm really fucked up with this sleep thing, and I don't know what to do. Thank you for your patience, or not, while I address this chronic insomnia. All right, talk soon, hopefully Tuesday. I'll do the best that I can. All right, bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those, like, lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly. which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.